Take your Bibles. Please turn. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Did I assign homework last Wednesday night? Does anybody remember? If I don't remember, that means you got by with it. If I don't remember, that means you don't have to remember it either. I don't remember if I did or not. I know I said something Sunday night about reading. You're going to read the whole book of Proverbs 2-3 times. Remember that? But anyway, Genesis chapter 1, Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God is our Creator. Christ is our Creator. Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What we're talking about is how God creates things in our life, how God created us, or how God creates a new man in us. He follows in order. God does everything by patterns. He does it in order. If God did it this way 6,000 years ago, He's doing it the same way still to this day. And what we've been doing, we've just been following the days of creation. On day one, God started everything out and your life was void. And we kind of went through that the last couple Wednesday nights. But then God shined a light in your life. That light was the light of the gospel. And all of a sudden now you can see things clearer. There He says, God said, let there be light. There was light. And we know that that is the light of God's Word. That's the light of Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, shining into our lives, showing us things. Now all of a sudden we can see things that we never saw before. Day 2, this is what we covered last Wednesday night. Day 2 is when God divided the waters from the waters. God made a firmament between them. By the way, I had a conversation with a guy yesterday, and he follows our ministry, and he kind of does some things that I do a little bit. He just kind of wonders, and his experience is in, he's a physical therapist, and he knows a lot about human anatomy. And he said, I listen to you talk about the body being the temple and the blood and all those things. And he said, I had this thought and want to run by you. I said, go ahead. He said, occurred to me, and this deal that fits in with Genesis chapter 1 on day 2, where God divided the waters above from the waters below, and God placed a firmament there between them. And there's a barrier between us and heaven. We're not going to get to heaven on the Starship Enterprise at warp factor 7. Amen? We're not going to make it there. It's never going to happen. Okay? There's a barrier there, and a great gulf, and we can't get there. God put a firmament there. And he said, I got to thinking, and he said, I know a lot about the human body. And he said, there's cavities in our body. And he said, we have up here, we have the thoracic cavity. And he said, we have the abdominal cavity. And he said, I got to thinking about that. And he said, they're actually two separate places. And he said, they have two separate sets of organs in there. He said, up here, you've got the two lungs, which of course, you know, is the breath, the spirit. You have the heart, which is the throne of God. He said, You have up here, you have God. And he said, down below that is where like the bowels and that are. And I caught where he was going. And I said, yeah, there's dirt down there. You ever read that story in the book of Judges where that old boy, I think it was Ehud, he had a dagger about a cubit long headed head. And he got into that old wicked king, and the guy was fat. And he jabbed it in him, and the fat enclosed in the dagger. And the Bible says the dirt came out. Well, I know what that was. It's stinky dirt. Amen? But he said, down here is where the earth is. And he said, this is where the corruption is. And I'm going, I like this so far. And he said, God divided what was up here from what was... And I went, the diaphragm. And he said, yeah. I said, I know that because that's what my granddaughter died from. She had a hernia in her diaphragm. What happens is God divided what was up here from what was down here with that diaphragm. And I'm just going, well, that's good. That's really good. But he said, Mike, he said, in the heart, he said, you've got the aorta. And he said, it is full of oxygen-rich blood. The blood has been run through the lungs. The lungs have filled that blood, loaded it with oxygen. And it goes through that last chamber, and he said, when it comes out, it goes straight down. And I went, okay, that's pretty cool. because he said in 1 John 5, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "There's three that bear record in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree one." And he said, "What comes out of that heart is blood, water in the form of plasma, and the Spirit in the form of all that oxygen that it's sending down the body." And I'm just going, okay, that's, I got doodads right now. Okay? This Bible's right, amen? You get to study, you get to believe in the words that are in this book. God will show you stuff like that. Boom, it'll just hit you. Because as he was saying it, I was filling it in with Scripture. When he said, "Down here is the earth," and I said, "Yeah, it's got dirt in it," he knew exactly what I was talking about because he had thought the same thing. So I appreciate that. But anyway, God divides things. He divides himself from us and what he's teaching us and what we found out, I think it was in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." And here's a man now. He's lost. And he's his own God, but all of a sudden God begins to fill his life with a void. It's all confusion. Then God turns the light on for him. And then the first thing God teaches him is, "You're not me. And I'm not you." So you need to understand there's a difference between God and man. And there's a space dividing us here. And you're not, and by yourself, you're not ever going to approach me by yourself. You cannot do it. There's a barrier that cannot be breached. You are corrupt. I am holy. And that's how it is. If we ever want to be in God's presence, we have to be holy like He is holy. Somebody say amen. And I'm not preaching against living a holy, clean life. But I'm telling you, the only holiness that we can expect to have on Judgment Day is the holiness and the righteousness given to us by Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen. That's what God is teaching you. He's dividing heaven and earth. Now, day three is where we are. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be," and the key word here is "gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said," now this is both on day three now, God does these things. He creates the dry land. He divides the land from the water. And verse 11, he said, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." I have both of those things underlined. "Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." If I were to ask you what the number three represents, think about what's being taught here. He's talking about fruit, and he's talking about what is inside fruit, and that is the seed. Well, the seed has three parts to it. It has that outer shell, and then it has that inner meat, and that what's called the endosperm, which is where the seed is. It's where the DNA is. And what happens is, when you put that seed in the ground, that shell rots off. And we're going to get to that in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's going to teach that. The number three is a number for new life and resurrection. What God here is going to do on this, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but what God now is going to do, he's going to plant the seed of hope. See, here's what God has done. God has turned a light on to the darkness in your life. He's then showed you that you and him are separated, and there's no chance, it seems, that you're ever going to have eternal life or that you're ever going to be with God. There's no chance whatsoever. But now God is going to plant the seed of hope in your life and show you that there is one way that you can enter into the holy place and be where God is for all of eternity. There's one way, and God's going to plant that seed in your life. God's going to do that. But the first thing God's going to do, now watch this, I like this. The first thing that God's going to start doing in you, he's going to start drawing you away from who you're with, where you are, who you run around with, the thoughts you think, the life that you live. He's going to start drawing you away from that because that's what's killing you. That's why that'll cause you to end up in the hospital with alcohol poisoning. Amen? And God's telling Roy, wake up. You can't do this anymore. It's killing you. Amen. You can't be this way anymore. You can't live this way anymore. I want to call you out. I want to separate you. And how about I do this? How about I draw you away from the place that you are and the people that you're with and draw you into a new place with some new people? Boy, I like it. Psalm 26, verse 9. Look at here. Look at here. Gather. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Somebody say amen. You stop and think about it. Who in here, now I better not ask this and have you raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass, because I can tell you, I had a friend when I was in Bible college. And we were pretty close buddies. We traveled and sang together. And we ministered together. He was in Bible college. I was in Bible college. He thought God was calling him to ministry. I felt God was calling me into ministry. And we were buddies, and we hung around, and we just did everything together. We went out to a big buffet they had there in Oklahoma City. And, I mean, they had crab legs and had everything. And, I mean, we just piled it on. We was college age, you know, and we just piled had plate leftovers everywhere. And he reared back and he said, boy, what I wouldn't give for a cigarette right about now. He was about 10 years older than me. And I went, he said, oh yeah, there's nothing better after a good meal than a good smoke. You know, and then he starts telling me about things he used to do when he's lost. He starts telling me about all the drugs that he took and what all they did to him and all the parties that he had. And I found out later that he would go back to where he used to live there around Joplin, Missouri. And he'd get in with his brother who was still in that junk. And on weekends, every now and then, he'd go back to that and be part of it and then come back to Bible college. I didn't know it at the time. He was scared to tell me because he knew I'd say something to him about him and do it in love, but I'd say something to him about him. And finally, I'll just go ahead and say it. He got into a homosexual lifestyle, and to this day, that's where he is. I found him on Facebook, talked to him a little bit, and then I watched some of his posts, and I went, he's still in that. He ain't changed. Okay? So I'm going to tell you something. What happened was he decided that he would pick the other gathering. He was drawn back and gathered back with sinners. And he decided that's how he wanted to live, and to this day he's living it. Now I haven't given up on him. I pray for him. I don't know if I'm still friends with him on Facebook. I don't know if he's blocked me. I don't know. But I pray for him every now and then because I love the man. We were friends. I care a lot about him. And I pray for him. God, do something with him. Change him. Correct him. Whatever it's got to take, do something with him. Okay? But I'm telling you, when you get right with God, and you start living it for a while, and the longer you live it, you know how we get into a rut in life? This is a good rut to get into. Amen? Because this rut is a rut that's been followed by everybody else that's led to Zion, and it's a good place to get into. And when you stop and think about it, and ask yourself the question, would I really want to go back where all the sin was and all the old people I used to run with? Do I really want to go back to that? And if you're right with God, you'll truthfully say, Listen, I don't care about you shaking your head no while you're in church. I'm talking about when you're alone by yourself thinking this thing through. Listen, I done learned a long time ago, you can nod your head and say amen and shout hallelujah all you want to in church. And it's a different story at home when you get alone. Okay? I've learned that. Okay? I'm not interested in what you say here tonight. I'm interested in how things turn out for you 5 years now, 10 years from now. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. Is do you really want to go back to that? Would you say to God, God, please, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Okay? Psalm 50. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Psalm 107. By the way, watch this now. God is drawing you away from your life of sin, and He's drawing you now into a covenant. A contract between you and God. And here's here's what you thought the old contract was. Here's what you thought. You thought, well, I believe in God. I believe I'm just as close to God out fishing at the lake than anybody in church ever was. Me and God's got our own thing going. I can drink whiskey and smoke a little marijuana, chase a few women around. I can go to the pool hall, go to the bars. I go to dances. I do all that stuff. But I still believe in God. And God lets me do that. And when He gets me in front of Him, He'll look at my good deeds and He'll weigh them against my bad deeds. And I'll be just fine. I've sat across the table. People told me that. You know what God's going to do? He's going to draw you out of that old stupid contract that you made up that God never signed. God never agreed to that nonsense. He's going to draw you to a contract that says, you are not worthy to enter into my presence, but I know a guy. He's called the fixer. Amen. And He fixes things. He's going to fix this for you. Are you interested? And that's what He had gathered my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The sacrifice was Christ. Psalm 106:47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. God is going to gather you now with some people that are, they're not boastful, they're not arrogant. God's not drawing us together so we can say, hey, look at us, everybody. We're better than everybody else. He's going to draw you to some people that are down on their knees saying, God, thank you for saving us sinners. Like I prayed a while ago. God, thank you for saving that man. It was rough in his speech, rough in his thoughts, rough in his lifestyle, but you reached down to pit and God, and you got him. God, I'm thankful for that. God's going to gather you into that. Psalm 147:2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. Watch this. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. What were you? They threw you out of every place. They tossed you away. They said, we're done with you. You're no good. You're not any use to us. Go on, get out of here. Now I want to tell you something. If God burnt all the bridges behind you, you tell Him thank you. Because if you want to go back, you'll realize you can't. And I'm telling, best thing that God has ever done for me is just destroy practically any possibility of me walking out on Him. Okay? He just made it to where I'd lose everything. Everything that's dear to me, my wife, my family, this church, I'd lose it all. I don't want that. Amen. But God burn all the bridges down. Somebody say amen. Now, I got a thought here. Notice that He's, and go back to Genesis 1. Notice that He gathered all the waters together into one place. Okay? And notice here in the Psalms, it's talking about gathering us with God's people. Getting us around. You know what you're doing? You start looking for a church to go to. You do. You start thinking, I need to hear some preaching. I need to get with some church people. Amen? Am I telling this right? Because that's what God puts in your heart. Now, I had a little thought a while ago, and I'm going to test it out on you. Turn to Revelation 17. To me, it's right about this time that an intervention is attempted on your life. Turn to Revelation. Where did I tell you? Revelation 17. An intervention. It's right about this time that someone starts intervening in your life to put a stop to any notion you might have of going to church and living for God. I got to find it. Revelation 17. Let's go to verse 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon what? Many waters. What did we just see about the waters? God was gathering them together, wasn't He? Okay, now He's going to tell you what those waters are. Look at verse 15. He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now I want to run this by you. Sitting on something shows, number one, it's covering something. It's hiding something. Number two, sitting on something is like authority. When you sit on a horse, who's in charge? Hopefully you are. Amen. Hopefully you are. When somebody sits on a throne, that is showing authority. Babylon sits upon many waters. She has taken authority over, and it explains to you what the many waters are. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. She is sitting over and ruling over the people of this earth that are the waters that God gathered together. Do you see that? Okay? Now let me share something about Babylon. There's two women in the Bible. One clean and one unclean. Guess which one she is? She's unclean. She's filthy. She has the filthiness of her whoredoms and her abominations. Okay? According to the law, when a woman was in her uncleanness, right? When a woman was in her uncleanness, she was unclean, all of her clothing was unclean, and get this, everything that she sat on was unclean. Here's what I got figured. Right about the time, watch this now, that God starts working on you, He's turned the light on in your life. He's shown you the separation between you and Him. And now God is dealing with you, and He is drawing you in with church people. He's drawing you in. He's trying to gather you with saints. And you're going, I need to get out of the mess that I'm in. I need to get away. I was watching Cops the other night, and this lady said that she had to move. What, Cops or the news or something like that? But anyway, this woman had moved hundreds of miles away from the neighborhood she grew up in just to get away from the street, the gangs, and everything else. She said, I got to get away from it. And she did. She moved hundreds of miles away just to get away from that. Because when you move to a new place, you don't know where all the dope dealers are. Amen? It makes it hard on you, all right? But anyway, here's God drawing you to a church. And I got figured, this is about the time that Babylon starts getting involved to try to get you gathered in with her crowd where she sits in dominion over you, and now you're right back in the uncleanness, only worse. Because now she rules over you. Does that make sense to everybody? Stop and think about it. Here you are, you're wanting to live for the Lord. God starts dealing with you in your life. You're saying, boy, I need to get... Heather, what did God tell you? Where did God tell you you needed to go on that day? Go to church, Heather! She ended up right over here. I'm not making that up. That's exactly what she said. Yep, come right here. Gather yourself with the saints and not the sinners. Heather, I'm just going to ask you a generalized question. Has the sinners called you back yet? Okay? Listen, I'm telling you, this is about the time that Babylon will start getting back. It's like the alarm goes off. It's like there's a big alarm in her mystery mansion, and she dispatches devils now out to try to, phone calls are made. Hey, where you been, sister? Texting you. Hey, we're having a party at so-and-so's house tomorrow night. Boy, we missed you at the last one. Okay? Everything's free this time. You're going to do whatever they can to try to draw you back. That's good, isn't it? Okay, let's go back to Genesis, all right? In fact, let's do this. Matthew chapter 13. Watch this. Talking about the sea. Matthew 13, 47. If you ever just want to read parables, read Matthew 13. There's a dozen and a half of them in there, okay? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, God said. Now you stop and think about this. Here, God, now you're fixing to be segregated into one group or another. And I'm not kidding you. I've been in church a long time. I've seen people come in and I've seen people severed out. It's like God calls out who He knows is not right. Okay? God will call them out. I don't have to do it. God will do it. Okay? Now, I've seen situations where people would come in, they'd act like they'd get saved, they'd get baptized, join the church, and before too long, I mean, they were out in wickedness. Did you know that I didn't have to tell them to stop coming to church? I didn't have to tell them that, and didn't tell them that. You know what happened? They just quit coming. You know why? They got gathered in with the other group. And they said to themselves, here's what happens. We say to ourselves, it's just a whole lot easier to just keep going in sin than it is to try to get right. Because they think that it's their responsibility, but it's not. It's God's. God will do it. God will do it. Okay? But here's what he's doing now. He's gathering you. And about this time, here's old Jezebel trying to work against you, trying to pull you away. Okay? Both of them be working at the same time. Now, Acts chapter 14. Okay? When they were come and had gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And here, watch this now. Here's the door, and it's wide open. And God is, listen now, God has brought you to the church. You decide whether you're going to go in or not. Because I believe in free will. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that God just snatched heads out of a pile and said, you're saved. I believe God knew it. God foreordained it. I get it. But he gives man a choice. He put two trees in the garden and said, choose. Joshua said, choose you whom this day, whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God told Moses, tell him, I put before you two choices, life and death. Choose life. Okay? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God offers it, and he'll bring you to the door of the church. You decide whether you're going to go in or not. Because that door right now, look at what that verse says. How he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. For right now, I believe that that door is wide open. I also believe that one day, God's going to shut it. He's going to shut it to the Gentiles. He's going to open it back up to Israel, to the Jews. Okay? I'm a Gentile. I got in while the getting was good. Amen? I got in while the doors were still open. I'm not on the outside of the ark going, let me in, let me in. I'm sorry. I should have listened. I know I should have. I repent now. God will close the door. And all that, do you think there were people beating on the side of the ark while that water was rising? You better believe there were. Noah could not have opened the door because Noah's not the one that closed it. God is the one who shut the door. One of these days, God is going to shut the door. But for right now, God is drawing and he's trying to gather everybody in while that door is open. While the door of faith is open, God is inviting you to step in. And he wants to draw you and gather you together with saints, with people that are going to pray for you. And by the way, God is going to use you to pray for them and be a blessing to them. Okay? Sonia, do you pray for me? Okay? I hear that a lot from a lot of people. And I appreciate it. Because I need it. And I don't care if you've been saved as long as I have. I don't care if you've been saved a week. You pray for your church people. And your church people pray for those that have just come in. Pray for those that are sitting listening to this. Pray for those good people out in Kenya. Pray for the whole county of Turkana that has yet to hear the voice of the Mzungu. Because my hope is that our voice goes out over there and people are saved because they're hearing the gospel. God's going to gather some people together in Turkana. And every week we've seen it. God gathers those people out so they watch our church service. Man, I love that. I didn't do that. I don't sit and on the radio station out there send messages out saying, if you don't come, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't tell them that. They just make the invitation and God gathers them together. And where the saints are, I've decided where the saints are, that's where I want to be. I don't feel comfortable being around lost people while they're living their lost lifestyles. I just don't feel comfortable around it. It's just not me. It's not my kind of crowd. I'm not the party guy. Never was. I don't feel comfortable around that. And a big part of that is what the Holy Ghost puts into your life. All of a sudden now, you're just going, I don't get it anymore. It doesn't do for me what it used to do for me. Maybe God did that for me. God, thank you. He said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Somebody say amen. Let's stand to our feet.